shiri chaitanya mano vishtam tapitam de nambutale swayam rupa kadamaya adati swa padam tikha. Hare Krishna. So maybe you have some questions. We can look at it. If anyone has some questions.
Can you just enlighten us a bit about the mind, ego, and the intellect?
Okay. Can we say something about the mind, intelligence, and false ego? False ego. False means there is original one. If we have a false one, there is original one. Original ego, that we cannot kill it, is the self. I means the soul, not the body. The false one is the body. But the original I is the spirit, soul, which is part and parcel of Krishna. So when we say I, we are referring not to the body, we are referring to the soul. But false ego means that we are not addressing the original spirit soul, but the body, which is the covering. So if someone steps on my body, it becomes angry. Why is that? Because I have falsely considered the body to be the self. So if anything happens to the body, I'll react to it negatively. That is false ego. We identify with temporal things instead of the permanent thing, which is the soul. That is why Srila Prabhupada is very much against the impersonalist, because the soul cannot be killed. Let Krishna explain in Bhagavad Gita in detail. Wind cannot destroy it, fire cannot burn it, water cannot moisten it, nothing, no weapon can kill the soul. Which also means that we are suffering unnecessarily. Because what can happen to the eternal soul? Nothing. Our fear is unnecessary. Another to pass an sakshat bhakti jogama doksa jay lokasha ajananta vidvam chakare swachatam samhita. Sutta Goswami was speaking this to the sages and Namisharaya. He said that our suffering, which is due to false ego, misidentification with the body, is 100% unnecessary, superfluous. It's unnecessary. We are unnecessarily suffering. Therefore, the general mass of people are not aware of this. Lokasya ajananta. We are not aware of the eternality of the soul and the origin of the soul, the supreme soul. So our suffering is unnecessary. False ego. All our problems are due to false ego. And that is the first thing Lord Brahma created. The Brahma created not the gross thing which we are seeing. He created false ego, misidentification of the body. Otherwise, how can we exist in this world? How can a soul exist in the body of a pig? It will be very intolerable. Therefore, the Brahma created false ego, forgetfulness of the soul. These are the first thing Brahma created. So we have to forget who we are. We have to misidentify ourselves with temporal things so we can exist in the material world. It's false ego. It's causing the problem. Prakriti kriyamanani guna kamini sarvasaha. Everything is done by the mode of nature. But the bewildered spiritual thing, kataham iti manjati. The bewildered spiritual is thinking, I am the doer, I am the body, I am everything. Everything is meant for my satisfaction. That is false ego. It's not the real ego. So we have forgotten that. And intelligence, indriyani paramano, indrabya paramana. Krishna explained this in Bhagavad Gita. Mana, the dull matter, the lump of flesh, the mind is superior to that. Superior to the mind is the what do you call it? The workshop for all the senses. Eh? When the eye sees something, what does it send it to? It sends it to the mind. Huh? The mind will start to evaluate it. Oh, this is it. Oh, this is a very nice car. Very nice car. Right, the senses got it. Oh, this is a very nice car. Look at this car, it's very nice. The mind will say, yes, 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 it is true, very nice. You need it. The mind, you need it, yes, it's very good for you. In fact, you are not happy now because you have not gotten this car yet. So you better get it now. Then intelligence comes in. Intelligence comes and starts telling you, oh, so you should go and rob that person. It starts scheming how to rob it. I go and study how the person move. It's intelligence. Intelligence, when intelligence is crooked, when intelligence is crooked, it's like giving you all crooked, selfish, and demonic ideas. And the mind will start accepting that the mind will be meditating, will be sleeping in the night, will be dreaming about the car. It's the mind, because the mind have accepted. Intelligence start processing how to get it. And you scheme negatively how to get it. Or we start approaching it in a honest way. If the mind is developed, if the mind is developed, we look at it in a honest way. Yeah, let me work and save some money so I can get it. So the senses we have, the mind which group all the senses together, the intelligence, which is also material, keeps us perpetually struggling for something that we have nothing to do with. We have nothing to do with. We can exist without any material facility. There was an age which was more advanced. In fact, when we talk of advancement, we are not talking of today. Advancement means those ages. Who told the people in the world that Madhav Parikshit was sitting at the bank of Ganges preparing for death? A cell phone? Is it a cell phone? Can our cell phone have the number of everyone in this world? Can it? Who told the people that the king is waiting for death at the bank of the Ganges? People should come and bid him farewell. Who? The communication was spiritual from the mind. That was an advancement. Not today. Your cell phone depends on electricity, depends on credit, depends on the network. Is it not? Without it, it won't work. Useless. You have to spend a lot of money to make a call. But the Parikshit did not make any expenses to get people to come and hear Bhagavatam with him. No expense. So Krishna is advancement. Those days or today, Krishna is advancement. There's also an advanced age. Kardama Muni, he sat down in the jungle, not in the city. He was in the jungle, very thick jungle. There he meditated for 35,000 years. Lord Vishnu left his Vaikuntha abode to come to meet him in the forest, not in the city, not in the palace, in the jungle, in the forest. Lord Vishnu came there. And what did he do? Lord Vishnu cried out of appreciation for his devotee, Kardamodi, perfume austerity, just to please him. And that tears formed a lake called Bindu Sarovara. And Lokesha told him, "My dear Muni, the very girl you are looking for will be here a day after tomorrow." Kardamuni did not go to the street to look for 12 girls and select one, and after 1 year, divorce. Is that what is happening? In my country, people, they borrow money to go and do wedding. Before they finish paying the debt, they have divorced. Is that civilization? That's advancement? False ego. The mind. And our mundane intelligence is always putting us into trouble. So, not only that, Kardama Muni got a mansion, a building that moves. This one, can this one move? This travel? If you don't like Mauritius, can you just transfer to South Africa? Can you do it? It's possible. Kardama Muni has a mansion that moves, travels without fuel, without pilot, no salary, nothing to be wasted. So Krishna is advancement today or that time. Not only that, Kardama Muni, he traveled from the earth planet, he went to demigod and enjoyed the right of the demigod without challenge. Not demigod challenge him, because he was a devotee of Krishna. So which is advancement? Kardama Muni or what is the president? What is the name of president?
Prime Minister.
Ram Gulam. Can he go to heaven? Kardama Muni traveled not just one planet, different planetary system. He traveled freely. No crash. Nothing. No fuel, no money, nothing, no expense. It was free. He enjoys that. And when he came back here, he created a lake. That lake he created, he told his wife, "Now you can enter there and take a bath." Once he entered the lake, he was in a different planet. 200 beautiful girls were her servants, just to serve her, just to bathe and decorate her alone. 200 beautiful girls. No ugly one was there. What is advancement? So we are necessarily suffering here in the material world. It's unnecessary. That is the reason why we should be very, very careful and serious in this movement. It's not ordinary. It's an opportunity given to all of us to stop, to put an end to all our suffering and miseries. Complete. Not to be under the false ego. Misidentification. This is not from that Sakura. He's singing. As a trace at the ceremony, we are identifying, we are accepting suffering as enjoyment. It's a misfortune. Just mention one thing that is blissful in this material world. It's so painful. Anything which you consider the best enjoyment is painful. Prostitute, they have sex every day. Is it not? Are they the most happiest people in this world? Prostitute. They have sex every day, but are they happier than anyone? Am I saying? Because I don't know. Are they?
No.
So everything that material is painful and frustrating. And just beside that is Vaikuntha. Anxiety less. No anxiety. Everything is permanently in existing. Everything. Permanently in existence. So we are suffering here because of our stupid mind. As Karagan Muni, he enjoyed his life. Because he was not identifying with the mind, the body, and the senses. He wasn't. He understood what is ego. He served Krishna without duplicity. And he got this facility. And not just that, when he came back after the wife declared herself, and because, you know, when she went to meet the husband, her father took her from the palace. Devahuti described in Bhagavatam. She was such a beautiful lady, she was so beautiful that on top of her father's skyscrapers, which was buried without money, on top she was playing table tennis. On top there, demigod, they were flying in the sky with their airplane. When they look and saw her beauty, they fell from their airplane, they broke their wings on the ground. That girl came to meet a husband in the jungle. Please try to understand that. And not that Karadumuni came to the city, the girl was brought to him in the jungle. Because Krishna told him, a day after tomorrow. How many days is that? How many days is that? Today, someone telling you, a day after tomorrow, you get that very girl you are looking for. That very day, Seven Boma Mondi brought his daughter to give them. When she came and saw that the husband was a hermit, so she has to remove all her bangles to be on the level of her husband. And she joined her husband in the austerity. Now, they have to enter family life. See, the husband has to bring everything she renounced. He brought everything. That is Krishna consciousness. We are just stopping people from sin, not from enjoyment. It's not from enjoyment. Nobody stops anyone from enjoyment, but we don't know how to enjoy. For a person who is sick, what is the enjoyment for a sick person? A person who has jaundice, how can the person enjoy sweets? Is it possible to enjoy sweet? So for a sick person, what is our enjoyment? We are all sick in the material world. That is how we are here. We are diseased. So there's nothing like enjoyment for a sick person. Enjoyment is meant for a liberated person, a person who is free from conditioning life. That's a person who can enjoy. So spiritual life is to enjoy life, not to suffer. So Kadamuni returned everything back. So when a devotee makes some sacrifice in Krishna consciousness, we may think that, I'm giving up too much. There's nothing we are giving, and there's nothing which is too much. It is nothing. We are simply requested to give up all sin, all suffering, so we can get enjoyment. Enjoyment is with Krishna. It is not in this material world. See, in this material world, people are frustrating. All relationship ends in frustration because both of them are cheaters. When people come together, what are we looking for? What I can get from you. Right? What you can get from me. And that thing, I don't have it and you don't have it. We only pretend to get it from each other, but we don't have it. So the end result is that I'm not happy with you, you're not happy with me. That thing we are looking for, it was Krishna. And it's only with devotees one can get it. It's a pleasure. So we should not identify with our mind, the intelligence and the false ego. We shouldn't. It's very dangerous. So Kardamuni brought back everything in essence for his wife. And he expanded himself into nine forms. Can you do that? Kramuni did it without effort. In this way, just meeting the wife once, she gave birth to 9 children. Holy world. Business finished. And he started walking away. He said, "Wait a second, please, Prabhu. I need protection. If you go to forest now to renounce, he's going to protect me." In other words, the devotee was requesting the husband, "I have no son here, so who's going to protect me? So give me a son." Therefore, Skaramuni gave her a son, and he left. Everything is perfect in Krishna consciousness. It's okay? Huh? Let me see your face. I don't want people to sit there. People should sit this side so I can see the people I'm talking to. It's okay? So we should not identify with the body, mind, intelligence, and false ego. We should identify with the real ego, which is the self. Aham Brahmasmi. I'm a spirit soul. So Prabhupada said that when a living entity desired to go back home, back to Godhead, like in Vaikuntha, especially Vrindavan, when one desired to go there, then we should try to understand, we should be fully convinced within our mind that I have nothing to do with this body, I have nothing to do with this material world. I am a spirit soul. And he said, any who thinks he or she is a spirit soul is an impersonalist. But anyone who thinks I'm a spirit soul, I'm not a body, and actually acted on the spiritual platform is a personalist. Do you understand? Yes. Another question? Yes, Prabhu.
We heard about a proper statement he made that my disciples also they can attain heavenly planets. Prabhupada very similar on that. So just you're mentioning about you're practicing Krishna consciousness, but still we have a lot of conditioning. Even though down the years we know, but still we have so much conditioning. So how we can raise our above those conditions and giving a platform of really we're ready. Living all those
anatas. Thank you. Thank you very much. There are so many lazy people in the Hare Krishna movement. Very many lazy people. Very lazy. We are not sufficiently stimulating our mind in Krishna consciousness. We are not. We are not sufficiently stimulating our mind in Krishna consciousness. Our mind is very dull. Therefore, it's attracted to dull matter. Indriyani paranyahu, indriyabhya paramana. We are identifying too much with the body. Look at to show you something. Something practical. Not in this one. Oh, it's removed. Mm-hmm. Okay. It should be in this side. Oh, it's not here. Not here. The other guitar has it. Has that picture. This one must remove it. Carefully removed. So that I will not show you. I didn't show you something physically. but it has been carefully removed. What to do? Okay. At least there's something small here. We didn't miss it all. You see this person here? What is he doing? So you think he's a fool? This man is a fool? He's a fool? We don't have eye to see. This man is a fool? That yogi. He's not eating. Sitting in one place, practicing austerity. Say he's a fool or eating, he has no food to eat. In India, if you have no food, you can live peacefully. You can go somewhere and get some khichdi and eat and live under a tree. It's peaceful. You don't have to worry for anything. But why is he doing that? Because he knows that we have to sacrifice something for something higher. Hare Krishna devotees eat too much. Hare Krishna. So you have no strength. That's the problem. You eat too much. How can a spiritual stomach be outside? One who is practicing Krishna consciousness, the stomach should be inside. You see, so many Hare Krishna devotees, their stomach is inside, outside. That means they are bogey. It's a bogey, there is a rogi, there is a bogey, and there is a yogi. Rogi, bogey, and yogi. A rogi eat 3 times. A bogey eat 2 times, and a yogi eat once. So we should be a yogi. The Krishna told Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, in all circumstances, please become a yogi, be a devotee. Because it pays. We are not empowered. Because we are eating too much. So many powerful lectures, so many powerful seminars, so many powerful workshops are going on. But all these things are addressing our intellect, not addressing the heart. Most of the lectures are hearing is here, not here. So no one is piercing our heart. That requires purity, and that purity will come from tapasya. Tapasya eva param dhotim bhagavantam adokshajam. Sarva bhuta guhaba sam bindati anjasa puman. Lord Kapil Muni speaking to his mother. Tapasya param dhotim tapasya eva. Austerity is a must for one who wants to realize this, the Brahman, the Super Soul, and the Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Austerity is the most. That is the process. So we should perform ekadasi very strictly. Ekadasi should take it very seriously. Janmashtami. The Janmashtami, the Hare Krishna devotee, they are not fasting. They are eating. They drink water. Even before 7 o'clock, they are drinking water. How will you be empowered? Lazy people, so we have no potency, very dry. Someone working in a company for 30 years, you will be a small man in that place? In a company you have worked for 30 years, will you be a small man in that company? Be a big man. Are we potently empowered in this moment after spending so many years? Where would empowerment come from? We are lazy. So let us do something wonderful. Why do we call someone a hero? Not everybody. Is everyone addressed as a hero? Why? Why not everybody? Because a hero is one who does something which is not common for everyone. So he or she is addressed as a hero. It's a warrior. But Tema has called devotees spiritual warriors. But are we really spiritual warriors? At least he has given us the vision. We should be spiritual warrior in the true term of it. And to be that, we need to reduce the demand of our body. When the demand of the body reduced, then we can see something higher. So that motto is a simple living, you have higher thinking. If you don't live simple, there's no question of high thinking. The opposite. All the great personalities in this world, material or spiritual, they did some austerity. None of them just wake up from bed and, oh, I'm a pure devotee. None of them. They did something to get them to the position where they are, that are being glorified all over the world. We like Narada Muni? How many of us like Narada Muni? How many of us like Narada Muni? Narada. How many of us like him? Narada. Our son should be named Narada. How many of us? You don't like Narada? Narada Muni, you don't like him? Like Narada Muni? But do you know how he became so lovable that we all like him? Which of us like to follow what he followed? Narada Muni cremated his mother by setting the heart into fire. He has no money to go and get a priest to come and to buy ghee and do cremation. So he set fire inside the hut they were living. That's how he cremated his mother and he left. For 4 months, he became a pure devotee. 4 months, July to November, became a pure devotee. He explained everything in detail to his disciple, Biasade, because Biasade wanted to know from him, what did you do? And he gave him explanation what he did. Okay. Anything else?
So you're talking about tapasya.
Yes.
Tapasya can make our heart become hard.
If you are doing it for pride, if you are doing it to show people how austere you are, the heart will become hardened. But if it is done as a service for Krishna, the heart will become cleansed. Now, ham deho deha bajam niriloke kaman kartan arhate viribujam je tapo debam putraka jena satyam sudhe brahma sokam tu anantam. To recite it. My dear boys, don't do things which it is very common for animal like a stool eaters, a hogs. Don't compete with the hogs. That is civilization of the hogs. Don't follow that system. Do some transcendental austerity which will purify the heart. And when the heart is purified, you'll be transported to the place where there is Brahma, Sukyam, Tu, and Antam. There's unlimited bliss. No ending. That comes from austerity. The Sabdev told his sons. Tapo Devam, not austerity of Hirakasipu. Not that one. Transcendental austerity will purify the heart.
Maharaj, how can we make a distinction that we are practicing austerity and activities that is which favors devotional service instead of pride in ourselves? How do we make the distinction in the two?
How do we make decision between austerity, which is pleasing to Krishna, and that which is just our false ego? A devotee Every devotee who wants to make advancements will have this, will have this consciousness. I am late. I am already late in this Krishna consciousness. I am late. And if I want to meet up, then I should run. If you run, you meet, you get to your destination on time. If you're moving very leisurely, you get there in the night. So we are really late. We're coming to Krishna, some of us are coming to Krishna consciousness after we have complicated our life with so many material things. Now to practice Krishna consciousness becomes very difficult. So every devotee should think, I'm late. And my condition is so terrible, my background is so terrible that I need to do something to get the message of Krishna so I can make advancement that will please him. If you have this mindset, everything you do, it will be a service for Krishna, not for my false ego. If I perform austerity so I can get mystic power and show the world how powerful I am, the heart will remain contaminated because false ego is there. When you do some austerity because you are feeling very unqualified and I feel I'm so contaminated, I want to purify myself. I want to do this austerity to purify myself so that I can do better devotion and service. With that mindset, that austerity is auspicious. False ego will not come in because it is for Krishna. And Krishna have accepted. We will make advancement. Because the heart is becoming pure. If the heart is not becoming pure, we'll be looking down at others. Just see. We'll look at these people. You know, I wake up 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock. I say, we wake up 1 o'clock. See this one. See the time you're waking up. Look at these people. It's false ego. False ego. If we want to make an advancement, the hearts will be soft, that they have compassion. They want to encourage others. Please, this is the way to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. That's transcendental austerity. He wants to show people the way, not to look down on people. So he has a soft heart. And the heart is bleeding. So he showed that by addressing the need of the living entity so we can stand on our feet and move faster towards the goal of life, which is Krishna. Prem. It's different. Okay.
And what is the result like from a person who is practicing these things for pride, what is the result that he gets?
For pride?
Yeah.
The result is that he will become very offensive to everyone. And he will be so offensive that he won't see anyone for him to associate with. Everybody are very bad. This one doesn't like me, this one doesn't like me, this one doesn't like me, everybody doesn't like me. So this is not a good environment for me. The person cannot understand that he or she has become too offensive that Krishna is sending him or her out, the devotional environment. Because the person who is making you to give up Krishna consciousness is practicing. Is it not? If I stop coming to the temple because of you and you are still chanting Hare Krishna, and I have stopped chanting Hare Krishna, which one is better? The one who is still chanting or the one who has given up chanting? Huh? So, we should understand. This thing is very, very subtle. We have to understand them properly. When you're making austerity for false ego, the person will step on everyone's toe because of false ego. We'll blaspheme everyone. Every day we sit down to gossip. Gossip is very, very dangerous. It's already, but Teacher Maharaj mentioned the result of gossiping. See, there are two things you get. For those who are engaged in gossiping, they have two things to experience. One is that their spiritual credit is burnt off. They become spiritually dry, and their greed will increase. The desire will increase. Do not go down. One will make advancement in Christian consciousness. The senses will disturb more or less. So we can check that. When our senses is very active, disturbing, we should know that our spiritual credit is very low. When our advancement is very serious, you see that the senses are less disturbing. The senses will not bother you. Because you have so much spiritual credit that suppresses the lower energy. So Bhagavad Gita location says we should use the higher self to control the lower self. Right? So many devotees, they complain about so many devotees. So much so that they themselves are not practicing. The result is that they are very offensive. And Krishna is sending them away. That's the result. A false ego. Offenses. There's nothing more than offenses for one who is falsely pride. False ego. One will make an advancement in Krishna consciousness. Will not see all the unnecessary things. We concern with himself and herself, how her life should correspond with the program of Krishna consciousness. A guru, they call it alignment. Alignment, you know. Now after you serve, you repair your car, you have to go to alignment to make the front tire and the back tire straight. That's alignment. But then they will lamp completely, perfectly. So the front tire, the back tire, they will go together in one straight line. Alignment. The strain will be straight. Even if you leave it, it will not bend, it will go straight. That's alignment. So when we align ourselves properly with Krishna, everything will be smooth. And the distractions of this material will not affect you. So if we are affected by the activities of another person, we should check ourselves. If another devotee's activity is disturbing our own Krishna consciousness, we should be careful with ourselves. We should check ourselves. That is sign, the signal Krishna is sending to us to see where we are. But because we are not grateful, we don't see it. So we need someone to let us understand what is happening. Therefore, to constantly hear is a remedy. Constant hearing. It's okay?
Ash, could you please give a collaboration on the two level of devotees? How this should be associated with one another? And how we should respect each one another? And because it seems like, honestly, in our country here, in our yatra, it's a big mess that we don't really know who is senior and who is better than junior, and how we should be, how a relationship with each other is.
Yes. Rupa Goswami explained that in text 5 of Nectar of Instruction. Rupa Goswami said that for an inexperienced, immature devotee, Kanista Adhikari, we should not keep close relationship. Our association should be with distance. No closeness. Because a person does not see devotees to be important. They only see the deity. That is the level of a Kanista Bhakta. So that devotee is very offensive to other devotees. For us not to be affected by the offense and not also to make offense ourselves, we have to relay with him or her with distance. So keep distance. Keep space. You should not go close. So we give protection to the devotee, also give protection to ourselves. There are two ways a devotee can react to every situation, positive or negative. Maybe a devotee is very bad and we don't help the person and we don't help ourselves. But a devotee is different. A devotee is one who helps everyone. So for a Kanista Bhakta, we should relate with him or her a distance, not too close. The other devotee who is initiated is busy in serving the Guru and Krishna, the deities, seriously, very attentively, is attached to the service, not the position. And he has focus, should come close and associate with, make a friend with that person. Because the person is not spending his or her time in gossiping about others and seeing the activities of others, forgetting what we are doing. That devotee who is not doing that, his focus is steady in his or her Krishna conscious activities. Should associate with him or her very close, to make friendship with that person. Because in that friendship, will get help. It is always important to work as a team. We cannot make it alone. It's good to have friends. If someone has no friend in this movement, the person is in a dangerous situation, is sick. Anyone who has no friend in Krishna consciousness is sick. So have some friends. And if you have a friend who is a deviant like yourself, that is another sickness. It's a serious problem. Those who are deviant, they want to form a deviant association. They make their situation worse. Then, if you see a devotee who has lost interest in criticizing others, the tendency to criticize others is zero, that is a guru who should surrender to him or her. Serve him or her. Worship that person. And keep permanent association with that person. If we keep ourselves like this, we'll make progress. We will protect ourselves from offenses. We give to others, and the offenses we take from others. So we have to follow this system. Our Krishna consciousness will become very mature. And if a person, something is wrong, we'll make it worse by complicating it. If you cannot help somebody, don't complicate the issue. Just leave the problem as it is. Go your own. If you can help, then you do something. If you cannot help, leave the problem as it is. Don't multiply it. That's intelligent. Intelligent man's behavior. So if a devotee is foolish, unintelligent, and is misbehaving, give a gap. Don't be too close. Hare Krishna, Prabhu, Mataji, Hare Krishna, how is today? Finish, Haribo. Go on to the next thing. So in this way, you're not offensive to the person, and the person cannot disturb you. Right? It's hard to associate. Association can make us, and association can break us. Maybe another time we should talk about association. We can discuss association. That's another topic. We can discuss association. And like talking about these things. Because it is working for me, and I have to tell the process. And Prabhu asked me a question this even before we came here. No, the question he asked me before, I like the question, so I want to repeat it before you ask another one. I like the question he asked me before. Because that question he asked me, I like it. Because the answer is here in Bhagavatam. So when he asked me that question, my mind came here. I was remembering Sutta Goswami and Nami Saranya sages. Right? So Prabhu asked me, how do we get knowledge? Right? What's the process of getting knowledge and how do we give it? I was very happy to hear the question. Because the answer is here in Bhagavatam. The sages and the Mishra, they asked Sutta Goswami, O Sutta, see, our life is very short. Not only that, we are very unfortunate. Not only that, we are misguided. And not only that, we are very unlucky people. And above all these things, we are always faced with difficulty. So we are very disturbed all the time. Disturbed. Right? Our duration of life is very short. Our fortune is that you have a fortune. Our fortune is that you are here because you have gotten the blessing from all the spiritual masters. Why? They are very submissive and very sincere in their dealing with their spiritual masters. So they have blessed you. So you know the reason why Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared in the womb of Devaki, the son of Vasudev. So please, you have undergone serious training, the study of all the scripture with all different branches. You have gone through all of them. See, we don't want that. We don't want that. Just give us what is your realization, all that you have studied. What is your realization? So a teacher, why my mind went there is now, a teacher who is teaching from the book, Sri Bhagwan Vacha. Sri Bhagwan Vacha is a lazy teacher. When the student asks him, what is the meaning of Sri Bhagwan Vacha? What is Sri Bhagwan Vacha? He's not prepared. But a teacher who is teaching from experience, is giving his or her realization, is the best. So the sages are very intelligent. They told Sutta Goswami, give us your realization. Not the elaborate studies you have undergone. We don't have time for that. Give your realization. So, we have to approach a teacher who has knowledge. After he has given us the knowledge, we have to practice it. When we practice it and experience it, then we should give what we have realized from the training. Not before then. Of course, in Christian consciousness, we are doing that. In Christian consciousness, we are all gurus. Yes. And you go to the street, they are teaching someone, they are not a body. What is that? You are a guru to the person. You are not a body. Please take this book. Understand how we are not a body. We are spirit soul. You instructed the person how to change his or her life. See, we are doing that already. Right? And that is the order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Please try to understand the philosophy of Krishna, then be a guru by my order. So we're doing that. We do it perfectly when we really become the pure one. So we should give our realization the best teacher. Right? I can ask that question. Is it clear?
So, the left mind, you have spoken about the first ego, mind and intelligence. But what is the lust?
Lust.
Yes.
Lust?
Yes.
Lust means the opposite of love. Original is love. Originally, love. When that love comes in contact with Mahatattva, becomes lost. Not love again. That's lost. So in the material world, we are dealing with lust, not love. Cheating each other. Love means giving, not taking. Not taking. Taking is lust. So we are in a society of take. So that means that we are predominantly dominated by lust. Everything we are doing contaminated by lust. But the original is love. Love means to give. Not to take. In all our relationship today is to take. What can I take from you? What can I take from you? Oh, see, that's a nice word. Prabhu, I'm your friend. It's the word I'm looking for, not him. That's lost. Love means I want to give. So the spiritual world, there is a competition between Krishna and the cowherd boys, the cowherd girls, Brajabasi. There is a competition. Who gives? Krishna promised, as they surrender to me, I will reward them. But the gopis, they surrender to Krishna selflessly, that Krishna have nothing to give them. So he spoke very nice words. But still, in his mind, he knows he's a debtor. Krishna became a debtor by the love of the pure devotees. That is his program. If you give me 10%, I will reciprocate 10%. If you give me 100, I will reciprocate 100. The gopis gave completely without anything. They violated all the rules and regulations of the sastra. They broke all of them. And Krishna became a debtor. How will I pay this now? That's his love. Very powerful. Even just look at lust. If you want to understand love, just see. Just see when you have, when you develop interest for someone in a lusty way. And let your friend tell you, this girl is not good for you, or this boy is not good for your husband. See the pain you will go through. If you multiply that pain into billions, that is pure love of Godhead. Understand? Have you experienced it before? Yes, I. You can use material thing to see the spiritual thing. When you compare, then you can see. Is it very painful? How can I give up this person? He's good now. See, he's a good boy. He's a good boy. I can say, you know, astrology. What is astrology? Bhakti, we are devotees. We don't have to worry with all these things. We are devotees. Isn't it? We are devotees. But when it pleases your senses, we are devotees. When it doesn't please our senses, we don't remember we are devotees anymore. Yes. Lost. And people who are too intelligent, they are very lusty. Very, very lusty. Because intelligence is maintained by the mode of passion, not goodness. So you see, many devotees are very intelligent, they are deviant. You're not seeing? You don't see well? See, my brahmachari name is Parikshit. So I see. Parikshit Das, I see. When I see people, I see. I see beyond the physical face. I see it beyond. Intelligent people are very intelligent. Very rare. My guru is very, very intelligent, super intelligent. He never misbehaves because he's a devotee. They're different. It's different. It's very powerful. His intelligent marvels are. It bewilders me. You're not close with him. Those are very close with him. When you look at his intelligence, it's very high. Sometimes you wonder, what is this? Because when you go with Gurudev with so much thing, with tension, when you get to him, and he will just make it very tiny, and you'll be ashamed. Why I didn't know these things all this time? Huh? Until I was deliberating, I was thinking about Gurudev's intelligence, until one day I got the answer. You know Gurudev's favorite verse? Who knows his favorite verse in Bhagavad Gita? His favorite. If you know that, then you understand why his intelligence is like that. Until I got this verse, I said, now I understand. I was thinking about it. Very intelligent, super intelligent. I can't get him. I can't go around him. We have some intelligent disciples who are very crooked. Before they do something wrong, they have calculated the perfect answer they're going to give. And then when you get to Gurudev, they will get you straight. You'll be ashamed. When they have fooled some other people, when they get to Gurudev, it's a different thing. You will turn the table. You'll be shocked. How is it? The devotees are always afraid with him. They are careful with him. You come close and you're afraid. This person, he read you like a book. He read you like a book. When he put a book before a learned person, that's how a guru there is. He'll be fooled. His favorite verse is Bhagavad Gita 10:10. What is 10:10? That is 10:8. 10:10. I'll get that 10:10. That's 9.
To those
who can stand in the world. Yeah, that's 10. This 10. Ham Sarah was a proverb, that's 8. Mot Chitta, Mot Gutak, and that's 9. And 10 is. That's Gurudev's favorite verse. And that is why his intelligence is so great. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki Nitai Gaura Premanande. Glories to assembled devotees. Thank you very much. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sandhivyavacha patitanam bhavinibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna. Prabhupada ki.